Turn to the Gospel of John 13. I titled this message, Teaching by Example. Teaching by Example. I spoke to you this morning in the Bible class and mentioned how that Joseph was a good example for us as believers. But Christ is the perfect example. He is the perfect example in love, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them to the end. His love never diminished. When Peter denied Him, He did not deny Peter. He could not have loved Peter any more than He loved him at all. He's our example in service. No service was beneath Him. And He shows us this in this portion of Scripture, washing His disciples' feet. That was the job of a slave, the lowest person in the house. And yet He did so. He showed but that there was no service beneath Him. Wherever the Lord has put us, doing what we do, we should be thankful. Because we are serving Him. As His children, wherever He puts us, we are serving the Lord, not men. He's our example in humility, meek and lowly. He made Himself of no reputation. That's what it says over in Philippians 2. He made Himself of no reputation. That's hard for us to do. It's hard for us not to boast or to brag. You know, it's just hard for us not to do that. He never did it. He never made Himself of a reputation. He's the only one who had a reputation. The Son of God. But He didn't go around making Himself a reputation out of that. And He teaches us here by His example. I want us to see this. Now, our Lord taught His disciples, and that's what He's doing. And He's doing so again this morning. His disciples here this morning. He taught His disciples by word. He instructed them by word and by example. He never said, do as I say, not as I do. He never said that. He never told His disciples, nor us, to do anything that He Himself does not do. Never. Now, from John 13 through John 16, our Lord is instructing His disciples before He goes to the cross. He's got them gathered together, and He's going to instruct them. He's going to give them some good instructions. And some of it He says, you don't know now. You don't know what I'm teaching you now, but you will know hereafter. You'll know later on, after I'm risen and ascended back to the Father. And, of course, John 17 is His high priestly prayer for His disciples and for us. I like to read John 17. I like to read it often. Because I'm reading my Lord praying for me. Interceding for His church, you who believe. He's interceding for you in that chapter. You know, I know you would say this. You would love to heard Him pray. Well, read John 17. You hear Him pray. And what a prayer it is. It's His high priestly prayer. It's the high priest of the church praying for the church. The whole church. Now here in verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, I think this was 2 days before the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, up to this time He kept saying, mine hour is not come, mine hour is not come, but now here it is. As He says in John 17, mine hour has come. That He should depart out of this world unto the Father. having loved his own which were in the world, not of the world. Remember in John 17, he said, they are not of the world. I pray for them, they are not of the world. He loved them unto the end. As God, he knew all things. He predetermined this hour. As God, he did. He predetermined this hour. This hour did not just happen. This is the hour of hours. This is the hour for him to be glorified. This is the hour for him to redeem. This is the hour for him to go to the cross and cry, it's finished. It's finished. Redemption is finished. The price has been paid. The people have been purchased. It's finished. He knew all things. He knew his hour had come to be glorified by his Father. He looks beyond the shame and the humiliation of what is about to happen to him. He's about to be stripped naked and beaten to where you can't even recognize him. His visage was marred, it says, more than any man. He's going to go to the cross. He looks beyond that shame and that humiliation to the glory that shall follow. To go back to the Father, to go back to the bosom of the Father, which he was there as a son anyway. He's going to go back there, and he's going to go back there having accomplished redemption. He accomplished salvation. You know, when he met with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, he spoke of the death that he should what? Accomplish. It was an accomplishment for him. It wasn't an attempt. Salvation is not an attempt. Redemption is not an attempt. It's an absolute. When he said it's finished, it's finished. There's nothing to be added to it. It's finished. So he looks forward. He looks beyond the humiliation and the glory that lay ahead. He looks beyond that humiliation to being with the Father and to having you, all the church, you who believe, he's having all the church gathered together someday. Some here in the near future. To have the whole church assembled right there. And sin be done with, this world be over with, Satan be cast into the lake of fire, and all this is over with. He knew that he was to depart out of this world of sin and evil. You see, his kingdom, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. The disciples were confused when he started talking about leaving. They thought, well, he's going to set up the kingdom, and they were looking for a physical kingdom. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and it's not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight for me there in the Garden of Gethsemane. They would fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And he knew it's time to depart out of this world. And having loved his own, which were in the world, you know, when Johnny said, I've chosen them out of the world. They are not of the world. I've chosen them out of the world. They were chosen out of the world. He said that in John 17. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them with an everlasting love. I can't comprehend that. If I can't comprehend it, I sure cannot explain it. But he loved me and you who believe, and all who shall believe. He loved us with an everlasting love, a love that's everlasting. Unchanging love, immutable love. He loved them to the end of all things. And note here, having loved his own, whom does the Lord love? It says here, his own by creation. His own by election, his own by redemption, his own by adoption, his own by new creation. Having loved his own, and nothing can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's where God's love is. Outside of Christ, you will not experience God's love. That's what it says. God's love is in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. If I'm going to experience God's love, go to Christ. I must go to Christ. It's in Him I experience God. It's in Him I experience forgiveness and pardon and redemption and justification and sanctification. It's in Him. That's where God's love is. Scripture says He hateth the workers of iniquity. That's what it says. We don't apologize for Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. We don't apologize for that. That's what God said. That's what He said. And supper being ended, the devil, a very real person. He's a very real person. Having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, he's called Simon's son, to betray him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's now time. This is all in motion. Satan is doing exactly what he wants to do, but he's doing God's will. He's literally fulfilling the will of God by this betrayal. This has to happen. The traitor is revealed as Judas, and Satan is in league with him. Satan's hand is in this betrayal. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, God said to Satan, you will bruise his heel. That's the human nature of Christ. You'll bruise his heel. He will bruise your head. He will crush your power. But right now, it's time for you to bruise his heel, that he might crush your power, your head. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, all things. Look over in John 17. He says in verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, for this reason, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's so clear. That's so clear. As it says over in the Old Testament, it's plain to him that understandeth. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding. And if God's given us an understanding, you understand what he just said there. You don't wrestle with it. You understand what he's saying. He has been given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father gave to him. Eternal redemption is sure. His work is sure. It's not going to be a tragedy. It's going to be a victory. A victory. Jesus knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and he came from God and he went to God. He knows where he's from. He's from heaven. He said to the Pharisees, I'm from above. You are from beneath. I'm from heaven. This man standing there talking to them is from heaven. Wherever heaven is, it's wherever God is heaven. Wherever Jesus Christ is, that's heaven. That's heaven. And he says, I came from that place. He's speaking here of his deity. I come from God, is the way he said it here, that he was come from God and he went to God. The grave is not his end. He's looking beyond the grave. You see, here in just a little while, we're going to see him buried. And Peter thinks that's the end of it. He said, I'm going fishing. We thought he was the Messiah. Forget it. I'm going fishing. Well, Peter, boy, what a character. He said, I'm going fishing. The grave's not his end. That's just a place for him to go to and conquer. He conquered the grave. We can lay down in a grave. Our bodies can be placed in a grave as a bed to rest until he calls it forth a new body. But it's just a place of rest now. We don't have anything to fear. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? The grave has no victory. The Lord Jesus Christ went into the grave and conquered it. And he walked out of it. The grave is nothing to us. It's nothing. And as a mediator, he's speaking here in verse 3. He says, all things have been delivered into his hands. You know, God the Father placed everything, just like we saw this morning. Pharaoh placed everything into the hands of Joseph. That lesson went right along with this one. He put everything into the hand of Joseph. God the Father put everything into the hands of Jesus Christ as mediator. We cannot deal with God without a mediator. We've got to have a person between us and God. And that person is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. God provided himself as a mediator in the flesh. And all things have been put into the hands of that man, Jesus Christ. The whole matter of redemption is in the hands of the Son of God. It's in his hands. He came from God and he's going to go back to God after he finishes the work. He's not going to go back until he finishes the work. He's got some suffering to do, he's got a death to die, and he's got to rise again from the grave. You see, he was buried for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So he's got to go to the grave and be buried for our offense, because the law says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You got to die. And Christ, as my absolute substitute, died in my place. As far as God's law is concerned, I'm telling you, this applies to everyone whom the Lord saves. As far as God's law is concerned, John Chapman died, was put to death in the flesh 2,000 years ago. In the mind and purpose of God, it happened before the even creation, because Christ is said to be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But 2,000 years ago, as far as God's law is concerned, I died. I was put to death. That's substitution. He says here, all things given to him, nothing left to chance, and listen, nothing left for me to finish, nothing left for me to do. Let's not make faith a work. You can do that. Arminians have done it. Jesus Christ has done all he can do. Now the rest is left to you. You have to believe, you have to do this. And they make faith, and faith is an act, it is an act that I do, but it's a gift of God, it's the work of God. He didn't just leave me to myself to make up a decision. It is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. It's God who works in us faith. It's God who gives us life. As I told you this before, God had to save me before I knew I was lost. I didn't know I was lost until God saved me. I didn't know I was in darkness until God gave me light. I didn't know I was dead until he gave me life. You see, in the faith work of God, but he doesn't believe for me. It's his work, but I do believe. I do believe. But I realize this, that's the work of God. It's the work of God. Now the lesson is going to start here in verse 4. He riseth from supper. I can just see him after they have eaten. I can just see him rising up, just standing up. This is God standing up. This is God. And he laid aside his garments, what he had on. And he took a towel and he girded himself with it. You know, back in Luke 22, there was a dispute among the disciples as to who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They were arguing. And they was wanting someone to ask the Lord, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? And so our Lord here teaches them by an example who the greatest is. This is the Lord of glory. This is the Almighty God laying aside his garments, taking the towel of a servant, and girding himself. You see, in that day, when guests or the owner of the house would come to the house, the lowest servant in the house, the lowest servant, in the house would gird himself. He'd take a wash basin and go over, and he would wash the master's feet. Or if it was a guest, he'd wash the guest's feet. But it was the job of the lowest servant. And this was why Peter said, you can't do this. It offended him. You can't do this. But after, in verse 5, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. No doubt, all of them, I think, were standing there in amazement. This is the lowest service you can do, is to wash someone's feet. And here's what's so sad. So many people miss what our Lord is teaching here in this portion of Scripture. They miss it by getting caught up in this thing, do we wash feet or do we not wash feet? That's not the issue here. That's not the issue. I mean, that's, people just banter that back and forth and completely miss what our Lord is saying. He said, do you understand what I have done? He's not instituting an ordinance here. It's not the Lord's table, baptism, and washing feet. We only have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table. That's the only two. This is an example of service, is what this is. This is an example of humility. It's an example of love. Of love. We'll get to this in a minute. So he pours water in a basin, washes his disciples' feet, and he wipes them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He just washed them, and then he just dry one, then he goes to the next, then the next. You see, he doesn't act like a servant. He is one. He serves. He said this, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give my life a ransom for many. Many. They were arguing over who would be the greatest, and he gives them the greatest example of greatness, and that's serving. Serving. And he shows the attitude. He shows the attitude in which we serve. It's an attitude of humility. It's an attitude of love. You know, we let positions go to our head, don't we? We do. We let positions go to our head. They're going to be apostles. They're going to have power and authority to cast out devils and heal the sick. They're going to have that kind of power. And he's teaching them here, don't let that go to your head. Don't you let that go to your head. I can make anybody an apostle. You know, the Lord can make any one of you men here. He can make any one of you a preacher. He can put you right up here instead of me. That's a gift of God. That's a work of God. We don't let any position go to our head. Then he comes to Simon Peter. You know, we learn a lot through Simon, don't we? We get to learn a lot through Simon. I'm glad Simon was Simon. He gets to ask a lot of the stupid things that I want to, but I don't have to. Because he is. The Lord let him do it. Then comes he to Simon Peter. Peter said to him, Lord. He didn't say Jesus. He did. He said, Lord. That's respect. And I understand something of what he's saying here. Dost thou wash my feet? It's like John the Baptist said when the Lord came to him. He said, I have need to be baptized of you. Lord, you don't wash my feet. I need to wash your feet. He said, dost thou? Peter is offended here. I mean, he's like, don't do this. Don't stoop this low. You're the Lord. And it is amazing that this is God Almighty. This is the Almighty God stooping down to wash their feet. This is God. Dost thou wash my feet? You know, we should never question our Lord as to what he does, his purpose. We should never do. The fact that he does it is enough. We shouldn't have to question him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter, I know you don't know what I'm doing right now. Trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. Trust me. What I do, thou knowest not now. And Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Peter's one said, I will never deny you. Peter was a never guy. And he always, don't say never. Don't say I'd never do that. Don't say it. The Lord might just pull his hand back and let you do it. We are capable of any. What's, someone said this once. What is a believer capable of doing? Everything. You're capable of every sin. You and I are capable of every sin known to humanity. Don't, let's never say, I would never do that. It ought to scare us to death. By grace, by God's grace, I will not do that. By His grace, I won't. Let's say it that way. But Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, and this is so important, if I wash thee not, and he didn't say here, if I wash not your feet. He didn't say that. He said, if I wash you not, thou hast no part with me. Let's not miss this. If I wash thee not, what's he talking about? Here he's talking about, if I wash thee not in the blood. If you are not washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have no part with thee. I have no part with thee. If our Lord does not wash us from our sins, we have no part with Him. We have got to be washed from our sins in the blood of Christ. Our Lord is going to go to the cross and be crucified. And all those whom He saves are washed, spiritually washed from their sins in the blood of the Lamb. He says, so Peter, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. He doesn't wash us from our sins, we have no part with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, our sins are put away. Our sins are gone. They're gone. And Peter said to him, Lord, and he still doesn't understand what's going on. He will. He'll understand later on. Aren't you glad we have this? I'm so glad we have the Word of God. We have this whole picture laid out here in front of us. It's like watching a play. It's like watching them on stage go through this, and we are learning from it. And he said, Lord, that being the case, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If that's the case, wash me all over. Just wash me all over. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. In other words, he that's washed doesn't need to wash again. He just needs to wash his feet. That's what he's doing. He just needs to wash his feet. But Jesus said to him, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. In every way he's clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Not all. Not all. And here's something. Get this picture in your mind. Especially in that day, they had what they call a bathhouse. And they would go, they didn't have plumbing like we have. They had a bathhouse. They would go to the bathhouse, take a bath, get clean, and then walk back home on those dusty roads. They didn't have what we have. They walk back home and they'd get their feet dirty. So when they got back home, they just needed to wash their feet. The Lord said, he that's been washed needs not say to wash his feet. And he's making reference to this bathhouse. Peter knows what he's talking about. He that's washed in the blood of Calvary's Lamb need not wash again and again and again all over. See, we are clean in Christ. We are holy in Christ. We are sanctified in Christ. Completely. Completely. But we still live in this world. And we need, listen, we need daily forgiveness, cleansing. We need daily cleansing. We need daily forgiveness. We ask our Lord daily, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. We need daily pardon. You know, when Peter said, wash my not my feet only, my walk, but my hands, my deeds, and my head, my thoughts. I need forgiveness of the thoughts I've had since I've been in this room. Do you? Lord, forgive us our thoughts. Forgive us our things that we have done we shouldn't have done, said we shouldn't have said. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Turn over to John, 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make a liar and truth not in us, or His word's not in us. Look in verse in chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, or the righteous one. He's a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We don't need to do that again. That's a one-time thing. You are clean. You're clean. But there's daily washing. You know, there's washing going on this morning. You know, the Lord said to His disciples, you are clean through the Word, which I've spoken to you. There's, the Word has a cleansing effect about it. When you hear the gospel preached, I couldn't tell you how many times, and it's still, when I read the Word or I hear the Word preached, then I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my coldness, my deadness. Forgive me for my wandering mind. Forgive me. And I realize in areas I have weaknesses and they need to be strengthened. You're washed. You're being washed. We need daily washing. That's why he's telling Peter, he that's been washed need not to wash all over again, but you need to wash your feet. We live in a sinful world. We have a sinful nature still with us. We need forgiveness, pardon, cleansing. Daily we need it. Daily. But I do like what he said here. He that's been washed is clean every whit. You stand before God perfect. You know that? You stand before God perfect. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you stand before God without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. That's how you stand before God. Complete. But not, he said, but not all of you. Always tares among the wheat. Always. But he's speaking here of Judas. Judas was never a child of God. He was never a child of God. He's called the son of perdition. For he knew who should betray him. He knew it. He wasn't fooled. Therefore he said, you're not all clean, not all of you. So after he washed their feet and taken his garment, sat down again, he said, do you know what I've done to you? Do you know what I'm teaching you? Do you know? Do you understand this? Do you understand? Do you know what the Lord is teaching here? He's teaching here humility and service. He's not teaching here. He's not setting up an ordinance of foot washing. He's teaching humility and service. He's teaching to prefer one before another. I prefer you before I prefer myself. He's teaching us that if the master of the house, if the Lord will do this, how much more ought we to do it? To serve one another. You call me Master and Lord. You're right. You say, well, for so I am. Like I said, they didn't call him Jesus. Now, John's doing that here in reference to him, his humanity. But they always referred to him as Lord, Master. That's the way we must refer to him. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. What's he saying here? If I need daily forgiveness, this is important. If I need daily forgiveness, shall I not daily forgive? It's not me washing your feet. It's me forgiving you. It's me forgiving you. That's what it is. If I have washed your feet, you wash one another's feet. If I have forgiven you, you forgive others their debts also. Forgive us our debts as we what? Forgive others. God, you know, there's a sense here in which God gives us a measure in which we have forgiveness. As you forgive others, I forgive you. You don't forgive others, God ain't forgiving you. That's the truth. That's so. That's how important this is. And so he's saying here, because you know, James said this, in many things we offend. Now we will offend each other, every one of us in here. Well, you hang around each other long enough, you'll offend each other. It just, you can't keep from it. You can't keep from it. That's just who we are. We're a bunch of offensive people by nature. But you forgive those. You forgive those. Just as you want to be forgiven. Now, I've given you an example, teaching by example, that you should do as I've done to you. I've served you. I've taken the lowest position. Now you do the same thing. Don't put yourself above any of the other ones. Paul said, I'm the least. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least of the apostles. He did not consider himself to be above any of them. And he had more revelation than any of them did. I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. So our Lord did this. Neither he that is great, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Here is the path to true happiness. It's obedience to our Lord's command. It's in true spiritual humility, true spiritual love to one another. You, listen, you are God's children. You believe, you are God's children. He died for you. This is one of the things that stands out to me as I pastor here and preach here each week. The Lord died for you. I'm preaching to a people whom the Lord died for. He died for you. And I'm here as your servant. I don't hold my position over anybody. I am responsible to the Lord. I am that. But this is our Lord teaching by example. Happy are you if you understand and do it.